Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3, the game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live today from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. And as always, we are presented by the Southern Bank of Tennessee. The chairman of the board, David Reed, is here today. Hello, David Reed.
I just got accosted by Adam Vingan, who's leaving, to verify that you're only going to talk about L'Jarius Sneed for one segment today.
It may be a little bit longer.
Okay.
It may be just a little bit longer.
It's a good thing
there.
I didn't make that bet then, huh?
Did you think about making the bet?
No, I did not. I knew better.
See, you've been here long enough now. I do have one question for you, though. In the time that we've been together, can you tell that I have anxiety?
Well, you were still monitoring the show and everything that's going on the show while you were sitting on a beach in Costa Rica. So yes, I can tell you have anxiety.
So I'm always anxious, especially about the show, about a lot of things in life. Sometimes I get really skinny because I don't eat because I'm so anxious. And sometimes I get really fat because I eat way too much because I'm so anxious. I don't know. Do it all, though. I do the therapy. I've done the medication. I've done the reading. I've done the meditation. I've done it all. So I have anxiety. The doctor told me one time, she called it high-performance anxiety. So I wake up in the morning. And now I wake up at all hours of the night. But I wake up in the morning sometimes around 5, 6, 7 o'clock. And I am just like, what are we going to talk about today? Well, today I knew that Brian Callahan had a press conference at 9:30, and I knew there was going to be a lot from the press conference that we were going to break down, and we will today. But I also put some topics in there just to be ready so that, you know, what if he gets up there and he turns into Belichick and it's all, you know, we're just on to phase two. And it's like, well, better have some topics ready. And so one that I prepared ahead of time today, but wanted to hear the press conference today before going all in on, was the big question of, can Brian Callahan change? Because I'm going to be honest with everybody. 3-14 was the record. That's not the most concerning thing about what happened last year. I thought Brian Callahan showed time after time after time throughout the course of last season that he was not ready to be a head coach. I want to be as fair as humanly possible. And remember that I did not push for Brian Callahan to be fired after this past season. I was not yelling and screaming saying, fire the coach, fire the coach. Now, I insisted on cleaning house, and that would be everybody above Callahan, and then letting the next guy pick what he wanted to do with the head coach. I talked to a former general manager before Rand got fired who told me, yeah, if I got hired as GM there, I would not fire Callahan. So that does not mean it's a foregone conclusion that Callahan would have been fired. And again, if I owned the team, I would have let the next guy pick what to do with Callahan, but I wasn't committed to firing Callahan either. But regardless of what happened or didn't happen, the Brian Callahan from last year has to change. And I firmly believe that if someone went up to him and said, hey, Jared Stillman on the radio says you need to change after year one, his response would probably be something along the lines of, we were 3-14 last year. Of course something needs to change. But I really wonder if Brian Callahan knows what needs to change. He talked today in the press conference about how they spent a long time thinking about the offseason program to emphasize penalties and taking care of the football, and we divided the team into 8 teams of different guys with this point system with the, well, you do know that the big penalties that killed you last year, they were committed by guys like Isaiah Prince, who wasn't even with the team during the offseason program. He talked today about changes to the offseason, changes to the way that they need to compete, and changes on what they need to emphasize. And that sounds good when it comes to, we got to make changes after 3-14. But what needs to change is the glass that Brian Callahan drinks from. I'm just being honest. I say this as somebody who really likes Brian Callahan, the guy. But he needs to change the glass he drinks from. Many of you would say that I am glass half empty. And there's probably some truth in that. I do believe that I am a very skeptical person, for sure. But being a radio host is a different job than being a head coach. And so I don't think I'd hammer everybody every day publicly if I was the head coach, the way you all probably think I would. But can Brian Callahan adjust from his consistent glass half full approach? The red flags to me in Brian Callahan's coaching in 2024 didn't have anything to do with the scheme or the strategy or when to call timeout, or that wasn't my issue with his coaching. It had to do with his optimism. Well, Jared, he's the coach. He has to believe. I know. But his optimism last year, it was too much. Doing Taylor Lewan's podcast and saying that Will Levis was everything you'd want in a quarterback. Insisting that they thought that Nicholas Petitfrere, a.k.a. PT, could be the right tackle. Blaming bad offense in practice on Denard's defense is really good. Or it was hot out there today. I didn't see a lot of players being held accountable during the course of the season. Mike Vrabel kicked Jeffrey Simmons out of practice and kicked Jamarco Jones, who was the starting right tackle at the time, off the team. We didn't see that with Brian Callahan. Calvin Ridley went to the media after he got 9 targets in a game, complained about not getting the ball enough, and what did they do? They drew up a game plan right for Calvin Ridley. Again, would Vrabel have done that? The Titans needed a reality check. And that usually comes from the head coach. But I'm worried that this head coach is such a nice guy and is so optimistic that he can't see it. It's not that he wakes up in the morning and he wants to believe that everything will find a way to work out. It's that he wakes up and genuinely believes it. But this is, as Tom Brady put it last year, professional football. This is not daycare. So I have to ask, what changes did Brian Callahan make? What changes does he plan to incorporate in himself for how he runs this football team? I'm going to emphasize penalties in the offseason. Can I ask how, other than saying, hey, don't do that? Hey, you know when you false start in a game? When we're at Denver and there's 70,000 screaming fans, Denver and Seattle are the two hardest places to play in the entire NFL. Denver is going to be locked and loaded week one because they went to the playoffs last year. They think they're going to beat the crap out of you. So I'm going to sit here in March and May and emphasize, hey, don't jump off sides, guy. Okay. What real changes are being made around here? He didn't make any meaningful changes to the coaching staff, with the exception of the special teams coach, with which he changed, I believe, above his pay grade, and kicking and screaming. Remember when Colt Anderson didn't just lose his job, they hired Bones Fossil, and then Kaharski put out, they're still trying to figure out what to do with Colt Anderson because Brian Callahan didn't want to fire him. Sorry, did you watch the special teams last year? Denard Wilson, first-time defensive coordinator last year. I was very unimpressed. I actually had a college coach that watched the Titans because he was watching teams that are schemed like the Ravens, Seattle, Miami, etc., who told me, they said, I watched the Titans. Their scheme, it wasn't anything like the Ravens. So he didn't make any meaningful changes to the coaching staff, except the one that he had to make and he didn't want to make. So is he going to change this year? Is he going to look at the roster and have contingencies in place for what if this, I'm holding out dear hope that this guy can play right tackle, or I'm holding out dear hope that this guy can play corner, or I'm holding up dear hope that even though we don't have any sackers on our football team, we didn't do anything to draft anybody or sign anybody who gets a lot of sacks, I'm holding out for dear life and pray that we'll be able to sack the quarterback. But if we can't, I have a contingency in place. Or is this going to be like last year where it was, oh, we'll get that take again. Don't worry, it was hot outside that day. I just don't know if Brian Callahan can do it. I just don't know that he has that I am going to hold everybody accountable bone in his body. Now, you don't have to be a total a-hole like Mike Vrabel or Nick Saban or one of those kind of guys to hold other people accountable. But you also can't be the nicest guy in the world. You can't be a total optimist and also be head coach. You just can't do it in the NFL. So I heard today's press conference. I heard about the emphasis on mistakes and penalties, and we thought long and hard about it. But what are you going to do differently? And what's changed about you? And I just don't know if Brian Callahan can change. Maybe I'm too skeptical, but he's too optimistic, and that has to change. 615-737-1025. That's how we're starting today. 615-737-1025. Now, there is something Brian Callahan said that they are doing this offseason that is different. And I heard it this morning, and I thought, wait a minute. What? And I will be shocked if not as many people were, I don't want to say embarrassed, but how many people just rolled their eyes the way I did. We'll get to that next. Stillman & Company, 102.5 The Game.
How can you influence those things in phase one, phase two, even phase three when you don't have contact and helmets? How can you influence negative plays and penalties?
You emphasize it like crazy. We spent a lot of meeting time wise, you know, where we went wrong last year. You know, we did the self-scout portion of it, the technique of things. But it's just the emphasis of it, you know, making guys aware. At some point, I can take you guys through. Now probably isn't the perfect time for it, but just how we've set up the off-season program. I think guys have really bought into it. You can maybe ask them a few more questions. Maybe they'll give you some more insight. But how we set it up, we've divided our team into competitive teams. We have 8 teams now that compete daily, which you guys have seen some of the stuff on social media, just post-practice competitions. There's points on the line for everything we do. So there's an emphasis daily, and there's negative points. So to your point, Paul, about, you know, how do you teach it? Well, if you jump off sides in a group drill, you know, those are negative points for your team. And so it's emphasized every day. We look at it, we talk about it. It's on our players' forefront of their minds sort of every time we step in the building. So those are the things we have to get better at for sure on top of the scheme. But I'm excited about, you know, what we've done and how we've done it, and we'll see if it pays off.
Okay, so I hope you guys followed all of that. Reed, did you follow it?
It sounds like something we did in gym class back in the 7th and 8th grade.
I'm glad that was your reaction, because I heard this during the press conference and I thought to myself, what? So Brian Callahan, again, can we play the question from Paul? Because I think Paul asked a very good question. Here we are in May. We know the Titans committed too many penalties last year. They made too many mistakes. They turned the football over too much. They rolled the ball on the ground. They did all the stupid things you could do. Here was the question Paul asked.
How can you influence those things in phase one, phase two, even phase three when you don't have contact and helmets? How can you influence negative plays and penalties?
Okay. His answer is to split the teams into 8 different teams, a mix of offense, defense, special teams, with captains and associate captains on each of those teams, with 8 guys or 10 guys, 11 guys per team. And so if you make a mistake, up, that's docking 3 points. If you make a good play, up, that's plus 3 points. He said today in the press conference, if Amani Hooker gets an interception, that's plus 3 points for one of Amani's 8, the team that Amani's on, of the 8 teams. But the quarterback who threw that loses 3 points for his team. So if he's on Amani's team, then that's a net of 0. And I heard this and I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. You've got to be kidding me. Am I the only one? I'm glad Reed heard the same thing I heard, because I heard that and I thought, is this the NFL? Or is this the Callahan Elementary annual field day? This reminds me of when you would go to, as an elementary school student, you'd go to Vandy baseball camp. And they'd be like, okay, you guys over there, you're the Rangers. You guys over here, you're the Braves. You guys over here, you're the Indians. You guys over here, you're the Astros. That's what this sounds like. This is the NFL. And Brian Callahan, again, I asked, I said, how are you going to change as a coach? What are you going to do so that last year doesn't happen again? Because if it does, you're fired and you're probably never getting another job. What are you going to change? Well, we thought long and hard this offseason, and we've got eight teams. We've got the blue team, the light blue team, the white team, the dark blue team, the red team, the Oiler team, and the Cam Ward team. He gets his own team. They're pumping his tires so much. What? Floyd used to tell me players only understand two forms of currency, money and playing time. You can run them. You can yell at them. You can show film to them. You can do whatever you want. You want to get a player to understand the language they speak. Money, playing time. So instead, we're going to have this made up for cocked a point system about, oh yeah, let's get into it. Listen to Tony Pollard talk about this. This was Tony Pollard today. He was asked about the 8-team system. Here's what Tony Pollard said.
That's something that I kind of like that we've been doing. It just makes the team get closer. Building that connectivity, just kicking it with guys outside of football, outside of X's and O's, just learning about your teammates, learning the backstories, just doing things outside the facility with the guys, so it's a great thing for the team in the long run.
Have you been scoring some points?
What was that?
Have you been scoring some points?
Yeah, we got a good score right now.
Good.
It's about 10 or 12 guys right now. So, yeah, got about 10 guys on my team.
And associate captain of your team?
Right now, I'm the captain of the team. The associate captain is Sweat, T Sweat.
What are you guys playing for?
That's a good question. I'm not sure what the prize is. I just know guys are competing, making it fun. And, it's a good thing to have that, that fun energy around the building.
I'm sorry. Am I the only one living on planet Earth that says, wait a minute, this is an NFL team and we've made up 8 individual teams with some arbitrary point system. We don't even know what we get if we win, but we want to win. Dude, these are 30-year-old grown million-dollar men. What are we doing? Jeffrey Simmons makes $23.5 million. You think he really gives a rat's ass about some made-up point system in the offseason that he doesn't? We don't even know what the prize is if you win? This is, I can only imagine when Brian Callahan went to Mike Borgonzi and Chad Brinker and said, I've got an idea, guys. You are not going to be ready for this. This is my idea. And they must have looked at him like he was a total moron. And they must have said once he left the room, well, it's him that's going to get fired for this year and not us, so whatever. I have watched maybe 1,000 of these Football Life documentaries they have on NFL Network. I've got it DVR'd. Every time a Football Life documentary comes on, it DVRs to my YouTube TV. And it is the show. When I am sitting there with nothing to watch, I know you guys have had this experience too, where you're sitting on a couch and you're like, holy crap, I've got 37 streaming services. I got 100 channels on cable. I got even more on the other streaming. And there's nothing to watch. I go watch a Football Life documentary. I love them, whether it's Roger Staubach, Bill Walsh, Terry Bradshaw. I could go on and on and on. The story of Bill Cowher's wife, very sad. And not one time when I have watched those thousands of Football Life documentaries have I ever seen a guy say, I'll tell you what, because they're all old now, because they're used to be. I'll tell you what really changed for us as an organization was when Coach Landry came in and split us up into eight teams and had us compete for a meaningless prize that nobody knew what it was about. You know, that moment right there really took us to the top. I have never heard that. Never heard that out of Tony Dorsett's mouth. Never heard that from Roger Staubach. Never heard that from Jerome Bettis or Steve Young or Brett Favre. I never heard that. So, again, I'm looking at Brian Callahan, and I'm telling you what his problem, in my opinion, was as the coach last year. I believe he was too nice. He was too optimistic. He was too, you know, he was too much like you guys. Bill Callahan will fix it. I don't care what the analytics and all the numbers say about PT. Bill Callahan will fix it. Well, like, I didn't believe that, but he did. And that optimism and everything else, like, it makes you feel better on May 20th, but it's not going to help you in September and October. And so they get out there, and this quarterback that he had pumped up in every interview that he did is rolling the ball on the ground to the other team, and he's going up there afterwards saying, yeah, I wish the cameras didn't catch me cursing at him. It's like, dude, this is the NFL. Who cares if you're hard on the player? Be hard on him. He's too nice. He's too optimistic. So what's he going to change? This year when Jeffrey Simmons throws a punch at training camp and then acts like a total ass in front of the fans, is he going to punish him? Or is he just going to say, well, I think we got it figured out? What is he going to change?
I have a question. This is just an OTAs thing, right? This isn't going to transfer over to training camp, because you're asking for Jeffrey Simmons to throw another punch when he's on the team with Tony Pollard, and he comes over to him when it's 102 degrees in July and be like, hey, dude, you lost points for us today. What are you doing over there?
Well, that's going to cost you more points. A punch, minus 5 points.
Only five.
Don't do that.
Only five, depending on the situation and the person. It may be worth it.
I mean, imagine if a guy's like, I was going to try to make a play on the football, but that wide receiver's on my team, so I let him catch it and run in the end zone for a touchdown because we got 8 points. I mean, again, this is the NFL. Again, my issue with Callahan, too nice, too optimistic, too easygoing. And this is what happens. It happens every time in the NFL. You transition from a hard ass, you always go get a nice guy. It always happens. You transition from a guy who's not known for strategy and Vrabel, not known for schemes, not known for smarts. He's known for toughness and accountability and really, you know, working people hard. And you go get somebody that's the exact opposite. That's what happened here. And again, Callahan has to change, or this is not going to work in the NFL. I don't care how it sounds about these extra points. Again, this is not Callahan Elementary's annual field day. This is the NFL. And yet, I don't think Callahan can change. I don't think Callahan's like, I thought long and hard about the offseason program. Did you think long and hard about that Seattle Seahawks practice when Will Levis threw an interception on the first play of the two-minute drill, and instead of blowing the whistle and saying, do it again, and making them get it right, you just said, all right, that's enough for the day. It's hot out there. Or are we just going to deduct the points and move on? Minus three, 615-737-1025, plus Tony Pollard said another thing you guys have got to hear. You got to hear this. Oh, my God. We'll do it next. Stillman and Company, 1025, 1063, the game.
There is a leadership emphasis, and part of the reason I did what I did with our dividing our team up into teams is there's no – now they're all accountable to each other on that team. There's a leadership that starts to grow because now each team has a captain and an alternate, and now you've got more people in leadership spots. One of the things I think is unique about the process is it allows those guys to start to find their own voices, and it's not about, you know, an offense versus defense. It's much more of a holistic team approach to it. We encourage these guys to spend a lot more time together, you know, both in the building and out of it. It's been a focus for us, and I think you can develop leadership. I don't think leaders are necessarily just walk into a room ready to lead. I think there's skills you have to learn. You have to have the communication as a leader. You have to know your teammates. We spend a lot more time trying to get to know each other on a level that I think is going to be beneficial to fostering more leadership for more people.
There you go. That was Brian Callahan today. Again, eight teams. We've got a system. We want our guys to get to know each other as we're going to build. I want you to hear something Tony Pollard said today that, again, like, I like Callahan. I know he means well, but, dude, this is the NFL. Play the cut.
Do you feel like that program has kind of, like, increased the level of competition between each other in this time, like, phase two as opposed to last year?
Definitely. You know, just it gets guys talking that don't normally talk. Then the way that, you know, Coach, he set up the locker room different this year. You know, it's not position groups and, you know, you sitting with your running back group or you sitting with the receiver group. It's everybody's randomly sitting by each other. So you got to talk to different guys, you know, get to know people throughout the locker room. So it's just it's a great thing, you know, just connecting with the whole team.
How's that been for you so far? Like, have you, like, gotten to know anybody a little bit better just in this short time?
Definitely. Just, you know, sitting next to my locker mates, talking with the guys that's on my team. You know, we have this thing where we do, like, it's called the four H's, where we go and talk about our history, our heroes, our hopes, and our heartbreaks. And all the guys tell their story, and that's just a great thing, you know, just learning backstories, what guys have been through, and what they had to overcome to be where they are now.
Now, I hate when radio hosts make movie references because it's like not everybody's seen the movie, but I do feel like most of us have seen Remember the Titans. It sounds like that's what he's trying to do. You know, when Denzel Washington sees that the black players are only sitting with the black players and the white players are only sitting with the white players, and he makes them integrate and he makes them get to learn things about each other so that they talk to each other. And again, that sounds great, but that's a movie. That's not real. The four H's? Tell me about your history, your heroes, your heartbreak, and your hemorrhoids? Like, I don't, what are we, what? It's all, it feels to me, I am not being a turd just to be a turd here. But it kind of feels like Brian Callahan went 3-14, sat there in his office and thought, huh, what can I do better? Popped in Remember the Titans and thought, that's it. I'm going to be like Coach Boone. That's all I can come up with. Yeah, you know, guys are talking to different guys now, and we got the four H's and the... Is this real? Is this an NFL team with made-up fake points that don't count for anything? Like, can you exchange them for prizes like you could at Putt-Putt? Somebody help me out here. Again, I look forward to the NFL Network's A Football Life. The 2025 Tennessee Titans. From worst to first. Thanks to the four H's. I heard that today and I was like, oh crap. Callahan. Oof. Again, I love him. Good guy. But wow. Yeah. I want you to get to know each other this offseason. Coach, do we even have to be here right now? Nope. Voluntary. Oh, okay. Let's go to your phones because a lot of people want to weigh in on this. 615-737-1025. Brian says, this offseason, my mind has really changed towards Callahan. At first, I thought we needed to give him another year or two, but I'm really losing hope in him. It seems that the more you hear, the more he's in over his head, and I hope he is wrong. And I hope I'm wrong, the texture says. I do too. I mean, I do not want Brian Callahan to lose his job. I want the Titans to have a good season this year. I mean, I want Brian Callahan to be the coach for the next 20 years. I think Brian Callahan is a great guy. And I think the world is a better place when good guys get rewarded. And I really mean that. Like, from the bottom of my heart. I mean, my girlfriend adores Brian Callahan. This summer, we were in the same spot, you know, vacationing, and we ran into each other. And so we ran into his family, and Lindsay and I were out there, and Jack wasn't even born yet. And Lindsay got to know the Callahans just a little bit, and she just adores them. So, I mean, I want this to work. But then I hear the four H's, and I'm like, what is going on here? One texter says, Cam throws a TD in practice, and Callahan says, three more points for Gryffindor. So a lot of people are making Harry Potter references. I'm not a Harry Potter guy. I read, not watched the movie. I read, like, the first three Harry Potter books, and then I kind of got bored with it. And that's actually a thing that is kind of synonymous with me, which is, like, I can watch the first season of a show and the second season of the show, but if the third season of the show is the same as the first two, I'm not interested anymore. Like, Mission Impossible. Love the first movie. Second movie, good. Couldn't finish the third movie. So when it comes to Harry Potter, like, I'm not a Harry Potter guy, for whatever it's worth. More of your phones on this. One texter says, this sounds like NFL summer camp. Have they sung Kumbaya by the campfire at night, too? Another texter says, I thought this was football, not Disney. I gotta say, for a group of people, you people, that love sunshine and optimism and all that stuff, even you people are like, yeah, this is... Again, I'm sitting here listening to these point systems and they ask Tony Pollard, you know me, I don't care what the players say. If it's not the quarterback and it's not Derrick Henry and it's not, you know, like a very important topic at that moment, nobody cares what the players say. They don't say anything anyways. But when I'm listening to this Tony Pollard press conference and they're like, so what's the prize for this? And Tony Pollard's like, ha ha ha, I don't know, but I want to win. I'm like, dude, you make $8 million. You think he gives a rat's ass about whatever made up prize Brian Callahan has in store? I mean, I remember Vrabel had like an off-season player of the year award. You know what they got? The parking spot close to the building. You know what? I do think guys cared about that. Like, I do think it's like, hey, man, I get my dedicated spot right there, and I don't have to, I'm in. Get a day off of practice, I'm in. One texture says, another L. Stillman take without any context to this or any, I mean, I think this is the one where everyone's like, yeah, this is, this is a little ridiculous. And again, I think basically stolen right from Remember the Titans. It's just the four H's. What are the four H's again? History, heroes, heartbreaks.
And hopes.
No!
I think we should. I think you and I should have a bonding experience. We should do this at the end of the show. We should share our four H's.
Let's just do it next segment and then get to the phone.
I won't remember
the Reed and I's now. Four H's are next. 615-737-1025. Stillman and Company, 1025 The Game. Stillman and Company, hey, tune in for the Indy 500 race on 1025 The Game this Sunday. Coverage begins at 10 a.m. and is brought to you by Twin Peaks, home of the 29-degree beer. So, Tony Pollard today said that the Titans are learning the four H's about everybody this offseason. Here's what he means.
Talk about our history, our heroes, our hopes, and our heartbreaks. And all the guys tell their story, and that's just a great thing, you know, just learning backstories, what guys have been through, and what they had to overcome to be where they are now.
Disney's Remember the Titans, a reality show with the real Titans. So Reed and I have decided we're going to do our four H's right here for everybody, and then we'll get right back to your phones at 615-737-1025. Look, I understand there is something to be said for connecting to one another, but to make everybody a grown-ass man do this is really embarrassing. That, like, that's what you think's going to solve you're not going to get the four H's and all of a sudden go be the Kansas City Chiefs. I just want everybody to know that. But without further ado, Reed, would you like to go first, or do you want me to go first?
You can go first. Where do you want to start? You want to start with your history? That seems like the appropriate place to start, right?
I agree. History. So here's my history. I was born and raised in Nashville, Tennessee. I went to USN, graduated from there in 2008, went to college at Louisville. I worked for the women's basketball team. We went to the Final Four in the national championship game in 2009. I also did a bunch of other stuff in the athletic department, including broadcasting, PA announcing. I was the guy on the Jumbotron during the football and basketball games. I got my career started at WKXL in New Hampshire. I did the morning news and an evening sports show. I then went back to Louisville, where I did the morning show as the co-host for 2 years on Drew Diener's show on the ESPN affiliate there. Came back here in 2015, and Jared and the GM started in 2016, and then the Stillman & Company program began in 2020, and we've been rocking and rolling ever since. That is my history. I have a brother, a sister. They both live out of the state, and I have a son who is 5 months old and half Canadian. That is my history. Reed, go.
I love the last part. The half Canadian part gets me every time you say that. I was born a poor white child in Spring Hill, Tennessee, back in the 1900s. grew up there and went to high school, a proud Raider at Spring Hill High School, went to community college at MTSU, worked in the athletic department there, got my broadcasting degree, went and worked for Penny's and Television News on the beach for about a year, came back, started the broadcasting department for the athletic department at MTSU, later went on to work for Titans Radio for a number of years, also Country Radio for a number of years. Went and had a hiatus in insurance, worked in insurance for a while, came back, worked on another part of town at another sports station, left there to go launch a venture with Outkick and those guys, left there to go work for Jason Whitlock and the Blaze Media Network, and then I somehow was blessed enough to end up here with you.
Okay, so now we're just going to hit one for each. So, all right, heroes. Reed, hero number one, go.
I grew up wanting to be Jose Canseco.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, come on. Back in the 80s, man, Jose was the guy.
Okay. I would say my sports hero is Tom Brady. I mean, I think Tom Brady is just the man. I'll never forget when Floyd told me that he was like, the way that you approach the radio is the way Tom Brady approached football. And if I could have had like a... you know, not a real boner, but like a internal boner. That was the number one thing I ever heard. Number one heartbreak, Reed.
I lost my late wife in 2022.
Yeah, and I figured that would be at the top there. For me, I did say one, but I'll do two here. The 2000 Titans, that was my first true real heartbreak in life. Mm-hmm. I thought that team was destined for the Super Bowl. And then when Floyd passed away, I mean, I obviously knew it was coming because he left the show in November and he was passed away the following August, but it was very, very difficult. Okay, more fun. Hopes. What's your hope, Reed?
I hope that we never talk about what's going on at OTAs right now with the Titans ever again. I hope this is a failure and they move on to more important things that are more related to wins on the football field.
It probably will be, but it'll probably be a different coach who gets you there. My hopes are that wherever life takes me, whatever job I end up having, if it's this job, if it's another job, I hope I enjoy it as much as I enjoy this. You know, like I truly enjoy my job and I hope that comes across on the radio. And then I put a second hope in there where I hope that my son like ends up being a good guy. I think he's going to be. I know, you know, it's so early, but you can start to see personality developing. I hope he becomes a good guy and I hope he respects me. You know, not from the standpoint of like, oh, my dad's my hero. I'm not looking for that. I'm looking for when he's my age to look at me and say, hey, my dad was truly a good dude, and that matters to me. I can't explain it, but that would be my four H's. One texter says, I'm already tired of this. I cannot imagine doing this with an entire group. And imagine having to do the same thing every day with somebody new. It's like you're sitting down with Tavondre Sweat one day, you're going over your 4-H's. The next day, your 4-H's don't change. No, so you're just talking to somebody else about the same thing.
First of all, where I come from, 4-H means a different thing. And this was something what that we mean? Did at 4-H camp when I was in the 4th or 5th grade. Like we had all of these.
What is 4-H camp?
4-H camp was just like a leadership camp. It was a way for your parents to send you out of town for 5 days during the summer to get you out of their hair, basically. So we went and had various activities and stuff. It's like a YMCA camp or whatever, but it's under the umbrella of a 4-H. But we were purposely put together with kids from all around different counties, and we had to have these activities and do this. But we were 9 years old. We were 10 years old. We weren't 30-year-old millionaires.
Cole in Nashville says, imagine if Mike Vrabel asked coaches how he wants to focus on penalties in the offseason. Brian Callahan was his offensive coordinator and brought this idea to Mike Vrabel. Mike Vrabel might tell him right to his face that this is the stupidest idea of all time. This isn't even 7th or 8th grade level. When I was in the 7th or 8th grade, we had to run for our mistakes after a bad performance or bad practice. You think I'm going to care at the NFL level if I lose 3 points for a made-up game as my punishment? I mean, that's the thing I can't get over is this point system, and like what I can't get over is how much, like, you listen to Brian Callahan talk with him, he really thinks this is gonna work. Like he thinks this, whenever he decided to introduce this, he was like, guys, I've got an idea. And I you know, I've always talked about this when people do some really stupid things in life, where there's got to be somebody in the room that raises the hand that says, well, wait a minute, hold on. You know, it's the fact that there wasn't one person that said, I don't think this is a very good idea. That is concerning to me. Like, this is kind of embarrassing. But it's, oh my goodness gracious. 4-H camp. How much does that cost? Maybe I'll take my son there.
We were poor, so it wasn't much.
You know, that might be something that we've got to. One texter says, Jared, remember the Titans was based on a true story. Yes, based. You know, was it actually a true story?
Also, in the 1960s, when we were segregated. Like, yeah. This is not...
This was like, I'm going to make black people and white people talk to each other that would not normally talk to each other and resent each other because of their skin color.
This was for the good of
society. We were 3-14 last year. I cannot with this. This is wild.
I'm trying. I'm like you. I love Brian Callahan, the guy. But I'm trying real hard to understand these coaching methods right now.
I hope it works. I hope it works. Somebody said, can Pollard not name his two locker mates still? I don't know what that's
in reference to. It did sound like it because I was waiting for him to say who they were and share some of those heartbreaks, those hopes, and those heroes of his teammates that he was sitting next to, but he didn't. That tells me a lot about how serious these guys may actually be taking this.
Unbelievable. 615-737-1025 on the program. Okay, to serious grown-up stuff. The NFL is trying to make some rule changes, and there's one that I just, like, I just vehemently against. I'm actually against both of them, but one I don't care as much about. We'll do that next. Stillman & Company, 102.5 The Game.